May we hear your voice, know your presence, and follow your call. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Easter is so much more than a day. It's a season, isn't it? It's a season that is busy and exciting. And that's the way it should be, because the resurrection changes everything. That's what is sung in the reading from Revelation, that everything on the earth, above the earth, and below the earth sings praise to God for the resurrection. But what happens if you don't feel that way? There are some folks who are so opposed to Easter and things of faith, they'll do everything they can just to make this singing stop. And I think Paul was a bit like that once. But there are so many others who feel like they can't sing because their hands feel empty, their hearts feel hungry, and their lives feel hollow. And so they can't sing. They perhaps feel a bit more like Peter. And so this morning I want to explore a little bit about how Jesus found Peter and filled those empty hands with a blessing, and how he filled that hungry heart with an invitation, and how he helped Peter's hollowness by commissioning him for a very special task, so that we can know that no matter how lost we feel, no matter where we are in life, God will always find us. Because he is someone who will not let unfinished business go undone. So who is this guy called Peter? Well, Peter was the disciples' disciple. You know, whenever the disciples are gathered together, Peter is the one who speaks for them all. But he is so much more than just a spokesman. Peter is the one who shows us the heart and the mind and what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. You know, when the mother of the two disciples, the sons of Zebedee, come to Jesus to ask him, could they sit at Jesus' right hand and his left? I wonder if what's going through mum's mind is, I wish they could be a bit more like Peter. But despite pledging that he would lay down his life for Jesus, this brave and courageous disciple, the one who brought a sword to the garden and who hacked off the ear of poor old Malchus, proved to be anything but a brave and courageous disciple when everything went down. This Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And so the Peter we meet this morning has a truckload of unfinished business. He's gone back to his old life with the old crew doing what he knows best. But as much as things appear to be the same, they are actually very different. Because once you've traveled with Jesus, well, you're really never the same again, even if you try and put things back the way they were. After all, for Peter, who's he got with him? Thomas and Nathaniel. Now, Peter was the kind of guy who was always prone to take the lead, get out in front of things. He was not the guy to have to be found sitting on his hands. Peter liked to get busy. I'm off fishing, he declares. And of course, his friends aren't willing to sit this one out or let him go by himself. And so they labour all night long. Casting, setting, and hauling in the net. Working the net over and over and over. Only to pull up, nothing. His hands are empty. And so I wonder if Jesus' words might have hung in Peter's minds, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. An unexpected voice calls from the beach, "Have you caught anything?" "No," they reply. "Throw to the right side," calls the stranger. I wonder if Peter thought to himself, "Throw to the right side, what do you think we've been doing all night?" I mean, who yells advice about fishing from the shore? It's got to be a bloomin' carpenter. But it turns out the catch was so enormous, they just couldn't haul it on board. And it's in that moment where there's this moment of awareness, where the stranger becomes a friend. The stranger is not speaking words of recrimination or blame. "Hey, you're a mob of useless fishermen." No, he speaks words of blessing. For when Peter sat in the boat with empty hands, Jesus draws near with words that are unexpected, words that are undeserved, but not uncharacteristic of who God is. They are words of blessing. So in the midst of an empty-handed night, Jesus comes and fills Peter's empty hands. And I wonder if Peter might have recalled those words of Jesus too. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands." I know all of us try our best to follow Jesus. And I know that many of us find ourselves hurt or broken or disappointed by what life brings. If that's you, this is your story. Because there's no moment here where Peter is expected to get his life act together. There's no moment here where Peter is expected to beg to get back into Jesus' good books, because the books were never closed. Jesus calls out to Peter from a long way, "How are you doing in life? Do you want to try that again?" It's a voice that calls out to us continually, and it's a voice that can be hard to hear, because that voice of the stranger seems to come from so very, very far away. But listen deeper. Listen deeper, because that voice might just be the voice of that long-lost friend. Those words might just be the ones that you need to find life and fullness once again. But although Peter's hands are full now, with a catch that is so big he can't pull it into his boat, his heart remains empty. I don't think it's impulsiveness that causes Peter to get dressed. I, for one, am thankful that naked fishing has gone out. But Peter gets dressed and jumps into the water. I think it's because his heart is empty. He's longing for something that he has lost. He is looking for hope through a cloud and through the darkness of disappointment and worry. And what does Peter find? Jesus has prepared a meal. Throughout the gospel, Jesus has always been the guest at meals offered by others. But here on the beach, as the light comes up, Jesus is now the host. "Breakfast is ready," he welcomes Peter as he comes racing out of the water. These words of Jesus can seem so ordinary, can't they, that we just skip over them. The resurrected Son of God is standing there on the beach, and what does he say? Well, it's not, baby, I'm back. It's not, okay, let's get to it, boys. There's a world to change, no time to waste. No, he says, come on, let's eat together. Jesus' words of blessing are followed by an invitation to sit and to eat and to be filled. In a world that's filled with so many instant messages and so many instant meals, where we are always rushing around for time, Jesus slows everything down, gets a fire going, cooks some bread and some fish, and sits with Peter and his friends. Peter's invited to bring whatever he's caught to the meal. Of course, Jesus doesn't need the fish, but he knows that Peter needs to bring it. Jesus refuses nothing of what Peter has to bring, and everything that is brought together is blessed. But it's funny at this point how there seems to be so many questions, so much unfinished business just hanging in the air, isn't there? But all of that is laid aside because empty hearts need to be filled. But not with answers, but with presence and with friendship. I don't know about you, but when I'm invited out, I try and make an effort. Have a shower, put on clothes, that's always good, and maybe a little aftershave. But here's Peter, putting on whatever clothes he can find, and if they are in a fishing boat, they are pretty smelly, fishy kind of clothes. But the one who was raised from the dead invites Peter to come and sit just as he is. And so come and sit is an invitation for us too. It's an invitation that is no more important than when we feel a million miles away from God. When all we can feel is God's distance, and when it feels like the light has just gone out, when we feel hungry and empty, that's when God calls to us, come and sit. Jesus is not feeding Peter with just bread and with fish. No, he's filling a heart with presence and with hope, and with love, and with laughter. The shepherd knows Peter better than Peter knows himself. He knows that Peter's impulsiveness and his short-sightedness and his weakness will not get in the way of hearing the words that Peter needs to hear more than anything else. Come on, breakfast is ready. And so they sit together. It's funny how it's not the disciples who get to ask questions of Jesus, but it's Jesus who sits and asks the most important question of all to Peter. There's always a time for unfinished business. But it's not when Peter's off in the boat, is it? And it's not while Peter's standing on the beach. Empty hearts and empty hands can only be filled after you've sat together. So it's no surprising that it's at this point that Jesus asks the most important question of all to someone who has lost all direction in life. The only question worth asking is this: do you love me? Do you love me more than all this fishing business? Jesus asks. He asks again, do you love me? A third time he asks Peter the same question, not because he's hard of hearing, but because where Peter once said, no, 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 he now needs to say, yes, yes, yes. And so with each question, Peter's life is reshaped, so all that hollowness within is filled with a new purpose and a new direction in life. Feed my lambs, Jesus says. Shepherd my sheep, he adds. Feed my sheep. These are really curious statements, aren't they? Curious things to say to a fisherman. Ordinarily, we might expect a king to give, to bark commands at people. And if you've been watching the Game of Thrones, you might expect something more like this. Pledge to me your loyalty. Go out there and conquer those enemies for me. Worship me. But Jesus doesn't say that at all, does he? He sees that Peter's future lies in nourishing God's people, especially those who are young and vulnerable. Jesus says to him, love my people. Really, really love my people. The good shepherd who once laid his life down for his sheep wants someone to love his people as Jesus does. And so this Peter, this person who once ran away, discovers himself to be the one who will stay to the very end, even if that's an end where he would rather not go. Jesus' final words to Peter are those that he must have just longed for. The words that Peter probably heard at the very beginning, the words that were said to Philip and to Nathanael and to Nicodemus and to, well, to probably everyone who encountered Jesus. These are words that don't simply mark the beginning of a new life. No, they are words that refresh and fill out an old life, a life that feels tired and hollow and empty. Those words are simply this: follow me. So our story ends with the words that Peter longed to hear, follow me. And these are words that Jesus says to us still, follow me. Do your hands feel empty? Maybe you feel like you're just going through the motions, feeling fruitless. Maybe it's time to hear that voice that calls from the distance. Does your heart feel hungry? Maybe you've tried everything and just yearning for something more. Maybe you're trying to find just a way back. Well, says Jesus, come on. It's time for breakfast. Let's sit and eat together. Or maybe your life feels hollow. Maybe you lack direction and purpose. But Jesus says the same things to you that he did to Peter. Follow me. The question perhaps for us is, are we prepared to get out of the boat? Are we ready to swim in and to meet the friend who's been calling to us our whole life? Are we ready to follow him? Amen.